second episode of the season two, of Getting to Know You podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Bradley, and today I'm joined by Abby Connolly. And Abby, before I introduce you, I just want to tell you a story real quick of something that has kind of been in my mind for like a year. Before I got here as part of the Media Orgs, I had like not much going on in my life. Not any real friends up here, nothing super strong. And I had built up a lot of like anxiety about like talking to new people, meeting new people, everything like that. And I used to like try to go out and try to meet people. And if it wasn't working because I would like have like barriers that I couldn't get through, I would like come back and be really defeated on myself, really not too happy with myself. And I remember when my sophomore year started, so last fall, I was getting ready to come to the involvement fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I only knew Megan and Mike Gross from TOP. Like, those are the only two people I knew that would be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked by the desk and neither one of them were there. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, I don't know these people. So I just kept walking. I did that two times. I walked around the whole entire fair twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third time, you called me over. And you brought me over and you said, you want to do radio? I was like, sure, yeah, I'll do radio. And then you were, like, so nice. You signed me up for all three places. And you kind of got me, like, to get over that hump. And I remember leaving and being like, okay, cool. I actually, like, did what I set out to do. So just wanted to thank you for that before we started. That without you knowing, really kind of helped me out a lot. So thanks for that.
That means a lot to hear that, yeah. You know, I had some small role in the fantastic work that you've been able to do.
Thank you.
In the past 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, how many more times I would have walked around or whatever, but I don't know. I just needed somebody to call me over, and you were just the one that happened to do that. So.
I'm very touched by that.
Yeah, I won't ever forget that, so thanks for that. I really appreciate that. But why don't we get into the interview portion with you after I've done my little anecdote there?
Definitely.
Why don't you tell everybody that might not know too much about you just exactly who you are?
Yeah, so my name's Abby Connolly. I'm a senior here at SUNY Oswego. I'll be graduating in December. Woohoo! Very excited. I actually had a pretty similar story to Jacob there, about how I decided to come here. I had met, at an involvement fair, I met, General Bellotto and Ben Grieco, former editor-in-chief of The Gonian and a former GM of WNYO, and fell in love with the school. Since then, I've, you know, been a part of NYO for a while. I was joking with Jacob last year, I better get on this podcast or you're not going to get door access. So I really think that's why I'm here.
It was a trade.
But yeah, I'm 21 years old, don't know what I'm doing with my life yet, but I'm happy to be here, I guess.
Yeah, you'll be fine. I always say that with everybody that, you know, the amount of, like, talent that I've seen just from, like, everybody, whether it's here or in TOP, like, and I see how you run ship over here, and you've done it since I've been here, so that you've done quite a good job there, and I'm sure you won't have any trouble finding a job in the real world.
I appreciate that.
But did you say where you were from?
So I'm from Elmira, New York, Southern Tier. About an hour west from Binghamton. I usually like to give 2 inches of space. I'm the top, and then there's Pennsylvania on the bottom.
Okay.
So people are usually shocked if they like pass through there how close I am to Pennsylvania. I don't know why people are shocked by that, because I feel like at any other part of the state, Pennsylvania seems really far away.
Yeah.
It's really not that exciting.
Yeah,
everybody's amazed by it.
Right, the amount of times I've just traveled and gone through Pennsylvania, and it's like all there is at the sign says "Welcome to Pennsylvania," and that's it.
Yeah,
like,
oh. It's pretty much the same as New York. Sorry.
Yeah, it really is.
But yeah, that, you know, grew up there, came here. I really have been liking Central New York a lot, so probably gonna look in that area for the future. But
nice. So did you Do you have any siblings growing up?
I do. I have an older brother and I have a younger sister, so I am
the middle child.
The dreaded middle child. I talk about that a lot, actually. I feel like if there's like a fun fact that you have to give in class, I say I'm a middle child, and people usually say it's not a fun fact. But how many middle children do you know?
I know one, at least.
And that's me. Yeah. So if I can be the one middle child that you know.
Say something.
Exactly. And if you're wondering, August 12th, already passed, but you can prepare for next year. It's something that you should prepare for. Middle Child Day, National Middle Child Day. I've told my family every year since I was about 12. Still have yet to receive a cake,
any compensation,
a balloon, really anything. So if that speaks to the identity of middle children in America,
just forgotten.
You know, I think that's the snapshot you need.
That's great. But growing up, do you have like any hobbies outside of what I would assume would eventually lead you here?
I guess I don't really know what led me here, to be honest. But I
we can get to that.
Yeah. I was an avid reader. I read a lot. My mom used to take my siblings and I to the library, and she eventually had to put her own limit on the number of books that we could check out because she couldn't carry them. It wasn't like the library limit, because if we could do that, we would have gotten like the 10, 12 books or whatever that was. She was like, no, you can only get 5 because I can't carry them all. So I spent a lot of time doing that. In high school, I was on the robotics team. I was on youth court, so none of that really has pertained to media or anything like that. But I had originally come in as an education major. And so I think, you know, my love of reading, I love talking to people, communicating, trying to figure out the best way to communicate ideas and knowledge to people. And so reading and writing have always been a pretty big staple in my life.
Was that like something that was common throughout your whole entire family, or is that just something that was specific to you?
So I would say growing up, I was pretty shy. My brother was definitely a little more outgoing than I was, and my younger sister is still very shy. We enjoyed talking to each other. We enjoyed learning about new things. And I think that, you know, coming from that kind of family that enjoys learning about things, enjoys talking about things that they learned, has kind of led me here. My dad's a teacher. My mother was a stay-at-home mom while we were growing up. And eventually, I think it was around 10 when she went back to work. So we had a lot of family time together. So I wouldn't necessarily say that being here is a family sort of tradition, you know, but I think talking, forming connections with people is something that I definitely learned from my close immediate family and then extended family as well.
Do you have a big extended family?
Yeah, I do. On my mom's side, you know, I know my second, third cousins, and my dad's side, we're pretty close to try to get together as much as we can. And that's always been really important to me as a person, and you know, having that background and having people that I know support me is such a special thing. And I think if there's like any way that I can offer that in some capacity to other people, I'm gonna try to do that. I just think that it's one of the most important things that you can have, is somebody having your back.
No, it's nice to have somebody there to pick you up when you're down, but also, like, praise you when you need it.
Definitely.
So,
yeah.
It's really nice.
You kind of need the praise. Even
you do.
If you don't say you do, you kind of do.
You need the smoke every once in a while. But, so you kind of touched on it there a little bit. So having that type of tight-knit, close family that you had back home, have you kind of been able to move that into some of the work you've done here at Oswego?
I would say I've definitely tried to. I think it was really hard. COVID, I think it was really hard to create that culture and have that close-knit group of people, just because we couldn't be around each other.
Right.
And people at the time, you can't blame them. They were really focused on what was going on with their own lives, because that's all that you could really focus on. Since being back in person and everything, I've tried to, you know, facilitate like more friendship things, just going on around. Before I start every meeting, right now I have a question of the week. So just trying to get people talking, get people to know each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's a good way. And obviously, like, when I'm doing outreach events, like you kind of spoke to earlier, I want to be that person for people that, like, maybe this is a place that I can be in. This is a place that I can feel comfortable, because there's people that do care.
Yeah.
I think that's important. So, have I necessarily created like a kumbaya circle? Maybe not, but
it's really hard to.
You know, I've tried my best. I'll say that.
That's good. At least as long as you're trying, that's all that counts. I know trying goes a lot in this type of area of work. But so let's take it back a little bit more to to now. You're older, still back at home. What eventually led you to being and coming here? Like, or I'll even say, what drew you to this major eventually?
Okay, yeah. So like I think I mentioned earlier, I originally came in as an education major, history. I had a history teacher in high school, loved him, wanted to be like that. The whole communicating ideas and figuring out the best way to communicate ideas. Mm-hmm. I loved that. My first job, I worked at a museum, and that was, I had to explain galleries and pieces to people.
Which museum, if I can ask?
The Corning Museum of Glass.
Did you really?
I will bring it up at any opportunity
the
I can.
The commercial haunts me still from like 11 o'clock at night.
It happens. But yeah, so I always liked explaining things, learning about the world, figuring out how to communicate. And I knew I loved music and I liked writing. Those were two things that I spent my time doing. So I was like, well, I know I have to join clubs. Why don't I do college radio? Why don't I do the student newspaper? Mm-hmm. And that's when I met Jen and Ben. And they are the reason that I'm here at Oswego. They are the reason that I'm sitting here today. I met with them. They told me about the clubs. I joined the clubs. At the time that I joined the clubs, I was still an education major. Mm-hmm. But then I just started loving this too much. It's the amount that I needed to. But I realized that maybe there'd be more opportunities for creativity in the sense that I could grow in different directions. But I'm actually not a broadcasting major still. No, I'm a public relations and English. Okay. So I switched my major 3 times, education and history to education and English, and then English and public relations.
Nice.
Really just because I liked writing and interviews and working in media.
Nice. We still got time for one more if you want to switch the major again.
I don't know. Let's hope not.
But so once you got here, and you know, you talked about Jen and Ben kind of being the gateways for you in here.
Mm-hmm.
How else have you seen how welcoming everybody was? Like, was it hard at first, or was it very easy to come in and just pretty much make it all?
For me, I think it was pretty easy. I like talking to people. And I would show up. You know, I started out as an alternative assistant here, working in the alternative music department. I would have to listen to music and say whether or not it was good. Most of the time, it wasn't. And from there, I just showed up in the office. I did my work. I talked to people. And that's the same thing I did over at the Gonian. So I don't know. I guess just by doing that, I learned where I wanted to fit in, and because everybody was also hanging out in here, you kind of form relationships from that. And I was just really happy with who I was working with, the environment that both organizations had. So for me, it wasn't difficult because I felt comfortable in it immediately. I know for some people, it could be a little more challenging getting into stuff. But at the time, I had kind of really grown out of some of my shyness, I think, from, you know, some of the clubs that I had done in high school and everything. So it wasn't too difficult for me to get involved and feel.
Stay involved.
Right. I know. I never left.
Right.
No, I got hooked. So
there you go. Well, it's for the better, I guess.
I think so.
But so now you've been running this since at least 2020 or 2021, as far as I'm concerned, right? Has it been before that?
Yes.
So you took over the fall 2021?
Yeah. We'll do a quick debriefing of my history here.
Okay, go ahead.
So fall 2019, alternative assistant. Spring 2019, alternative assistant. Then we get sent home.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Awful.
Bad. Then fall 2020, I became the programming director.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I scheduled and pre-recorded shows because that's all we could do at the time. Organized music, decided what music was playing when. It was great. And then in spring 2021, I was elected as GM. I was GM fall 2021 to spring 2022, and here I am again, fall 2022.
Here you are.
GM.
It's exciting. So,
it is. No, it's been a crazy ride. It's been really exciting. Did it suck at times? Yes. I would say the worst year that I had here was when I was programming director. but that was because it was COVID year.
Yeah.
Nobody could be in here, really.
Right.
We had a limit on the number of people that could be in the station at once. Eventually, you know, there were times where we couldn't be in here at all, and people couldn't have shows. And
it's radio.
It's a radio. So people would have to send pre-recorded segments to me. I would have to program them in. And at the time, we had a really crappy system, which I will not mention the name of. And it was really difficult. So it was challenging for me to feel inspired in my work because I didn't have those connections that I felt were really important to my life and then to the organization as a whole. But since then, you know, being back last year, it was really challenging going from almost like 0 to 100% all at once. But yeah, you know, through all that, I've been able to learn a lot about myself. You know, how I operate in the world, how I want to operate in the world, and how difficult it can be to work with other people sometimes, but how great it can be too, you know?
Do you
forget about that.
Do you want to maybe get into how you've learned about yourself? Like, you just kind of mentioned how you've learned some things about yourself.
Definitely,
you
want to
get into that?
Yeah, did you have a specific question?
I'm just going to kind of let you go.
Yeah, definitely. Apparently I'm really good at it. I guess, you know, I wasn't too shy coming in. I just never saw myself being in a position, like a leadership position. Mm-hmm. I always saw myself kind of as a mediator, which is not, you know, worse than a leadership position. It's just different. And I quite honestly didn't know whether or not I had it in me to lead an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I did all of that alone. I've had fantastic teams around me, you know, all throughout my time here. But I think taking on the responsibility has showed me that it's something that I can do. I think I've become more assertive over the years. I don't know if that would have happened as quickly as it did. I think eventually throughout life I would have gotten to the point where I feel more confident in myself and my ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think being put in a position where you have to make decisions, and you have to make decisions for other people, and you learn that you can't make everybody happy. Being able to learn those, especially over the past year and a half, has really helped me grow into my own person. And I used to really not be an opinionated gal. I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was pretty good with the flow. Really, you know, well, what does everybody else want to do? Blah, blah, blah. And there's times for that. There's times to vote. And there's times to have like a democratic system. And then there's sometimes where it's like,
gonna do what I want.
Yeah, you gotta I gotta put my foot down. We're doing it this way.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not sorry.
Yeah.
Why am I apologizing? You know? So I think those points are definitely the biggest I guess life changing things that I've been able to learn from here. Aside from how to operate a radio station, which I still don't have it all down. But
at least you've been in here. The amount of people that I've brought into this podcasting studio that have been either a part of NYO or TOP for like 4 years and have gone, oh, I've never been in here before.
I know. And like, it's exciting. I know. How have you never been in here? That's one of my favorite things to do, though, is show people around for the first time. And
they're
like, oh, this is in here? Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Everything's shiny and bright and flashing. And
I will say off the record, this is a way cooler studio than TOP has.
Thank you. You can put that on the record.
It's on the record. Yeah, I'll put it on the record. We're trying to fix it. It's okay. But so you talked a lot about being shy when you were younger, and now you've kind of grown into this almost like natural leader from what I've seen, at least from my perspective.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no worries. What for you was that turning point in making that transition?
Oh.
I know it's a deep question.
That's a really good question. Oh.
It doesn't have to be a specific event. It can just
I guess. I guess I don't know if it was. I can't think of one moment that just, boom, I'm
leader.
I'm the leader now, you know. I think it was a gradual climb. I think, you know, conflicts would come up every once in a while, and I would have to learn more about, you know, I was a shy and emotional person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still an emotional person, but
aren't we all?
Yeah. I guess you go through conflict and you have to learn how to work with those emotions. And I don't know that I necessarily did know how to, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've gone through, a lot of like personal stuff and working through those issues. And I think naturally, like doing that, putting the work in on your personal side, lets you see where you can improve in a more professional environment. So for me, I think it's been a gradual climb over the last, 3.5 years, learning more about myself, learning truly how the world operates. I've encountered and worked with more people now than I ever did in high school. And I think it's kind of like a culmination of everybody that I've met and everybody that I've learned something from. That's what I would say to that.
It was kind of the theme of the last one I did with Jill, was we kept saying, like, you got two ears and one mouth for a reason. So you should listen more, talk less.
Oh, definitely.
And just kind of take in what everybody else mm-hmm. has to say. And from what I've seen from you and how you're kind of become like, I don't want to say a melting pot of other people's opinions, but you definitely have your own opinions, but, very much so, I've seen how things have kind of progressed with all the media orgs and how you're so very influential in at least two of them.
Right. I know. I never touched TOP.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
I never did. I don't know.
I'm the opposite, except I've only touched TOP, and I've kind of done stuff here, and I've never touched the Goni. Yeah, I walk in every once in a while.
Yeah, I feel like you got to choose. You got to choose two.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to do all three.
It is hard to do all three. Mm-hmm. But some people do it. But so you mentioned just kind of going through some personal stuff on top of this stuff here that you're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you find that balance of dealing with stuff personally and control, like leading a team pretty much here?
Yeah, it's hard. You and I wouldn't say I've always been the best at this. You have to leave stuff. You have to leave stuff. You can't carry everything with you. I used to have a giant backpack. Like freshman year, sophomore year.
Okay.
I would carry everything I thought I could possibly need for the day, all the time, every day.
Wow.
And it was hilarious to look at.
Yeah.
You know, like here's I'm 5'2". I'm not like I don't take up a lot of space.
Yeah.
And I had this giant backpack with me, and I think I don't have as big of a backpack now.
Okay.
in case you were wondering.
Behind. No, you've left things behind.
I realized that I don't need to carry everything with me
yeah.
all the time. There's times when I might need to carry everything with me, but most of the time you don't. And I'm an avid journaler, and I think just through like personal reflection and work that way, I realized that if you carry everything with you all the time, it's going to be a heavy burden for you. That's just a fact. But if you learn when and where you need certain things, then you're going to be perfect when and where you need them.
I'll be honest with you. That might have been one of the best metaphors I've ever heard. I thought that was great.
English major. English
yeah.
major.
No. Yeah, you can't tell. I mean, that was great. But
thank you.
But either way, you've done such a tremendous job. I know we haven't really crossed paths too much. We've just always kind of been friends of friends. But just from talking to you today and over the past couple of weeks, seeing how you run things here. Of course, I'm pretty close with Kyle. And Kyle's kind of your right-hand man at the moment.
He is.
So just kind of hearing from him and hearing through him, I just know you've done a fantastic job.
Well,
so
thank you.
I'm excited to see. It's going to be sad. Like I always say, it's sad to see you go. But I'm excited to see where you're going to wind up next.
I appreciate that. I'm excited too. And I'll miss everything and miss everybody here. But the fact that I've been able to learn about myself, I've been able to grow professionally, and I've been able to meet fantastic people along the way, I couldn't ask for anything more.
I love that. But let's get to your strengths. So I had you take the VIA character quiz before you got here today. If you want to take it at home, it's just www.viacharacter.org. Take the quiz. It's about, I think it took you, what, probably 15 minutes at the most?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. So just around there, if you want to take it, find out a little bit more about yourself. But Abby, you took it, and it gave you a list of strengths, so we're going to talk about your top five today. So why don't you start with your fifth strength?
My fifth strength?
Yeah, we'll go from bottom to top.
All right. My fifth strength is fairness or justice. So treating all people the same according to notions of fairness and justice, not letting feelings bias decisions about others, and giving everyone a fair chance.
Do you think that's appropriate to you?
I think so. I think, we talked about me being the middle child. I had something on either side of me. I'm that balance point.
Yeah.
So
You're the weight in the checks
exactly,
and balances.
Exactly. So I would say that's pretty accurate. I don't like injustice. Mm-hmm. Who does? Right. So I hope that's something that I'm able to uphold and that continues to be one of my strengths. We'll say that.
What was your fourth strength?
My fourth strength is gratitude, being aware of and thankful for all the good things that happen. I'm super grateful for everything that I have right now, you know. Sometimes it's not easy to be grateful. Sometimes you get real sad, and it's hard to find things to be thankful about. But again, I talked about, you know, my family. I talked about my experiences here and everybody that I've been able to learn from in my life. And you know, the fact that I'm still here and I'm where I am and I'm happy with what I'm doing. I don't think I could ask for anything more. So,
what was your third strength?
Appreciation of beauty and excellence.
You worked at the Museum of Glass. So you might,
I did.
So that might be where that comes in.
Definitely. And I think that's also, I think that kind of, I feel like that ties in with gratitude and being able to appreciate, you know, the beautiful people around me and the excellent work that they do.
Now, I usually don't do this, but to go off on something on my own, I agree with that, in that, you know, if I'm ever like down or whatever, I like to go take a walk. And I mean, we live right on like one of the Great Lakes.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I just think walking around there, walking around the campus, which really, I think, really beautiful campus.
It is.
Just appreciating that, seeing people, seeing just the different people that are around here, and whether it's familiar faces or not, I don't know. It always seems to kind of make me feel a little bit better. So mm-hmm. I agree with that, the appreciation of beauty. So,
you have to be able to.
We're in a very beautiful world, even though it's got its messed up parts. Mm-hmm. But like, when you look around, there's nothing like the world.
There's nothing like the world.
What was your second strength?
My second strength is love of learning. I feel like I've definitely touched on that. You know, going to the library as a kid, how many books I was allowed to take home. It was only 5.
Do you have a favorite book series?
Obviously, I was a Percy Jackson kid.
Okay.
Obviously, I was a Harry Potter. Right now... Oh, actually, can I talk about my favorite book of all time?
Go right ahead.
My favorite book of all time, and this is also something that I will bring up at any possible moment,
okay,
is The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane. And it's by Kate DiCamillo.
Okay.
It's by Kate DiCamillo, and it's about a China rabbit that loses his way and has to learn things about himself and the world around him. And I've read that. I couldn't tell you how many times I've read that book. And every single time that I've read it, I have learned something new. And I cry every single time that I read it.
Really?
It's transformative. I truly believe that.
I
really think that you should read it, because it's beautifully written. It is a children's book, but so it's a quicker read, but it's just gorgeous. And the fact that I keep going back to it and I think about it constantly. I just love it. Sorry. I didn't mean to talk about it for too long.
No, you should talk to... So we have a new show on WTOP. I'll go off on the side here. So I don't know if you know Max Burton.
I don't believe I do.
Okay, so he's doing a show. It's called The Hearth of the Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's he calls it like an ode to unknown literature. Now, I'm not saying that's not unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants a guest to come on and talk about a piece of literature that has affected them in some way and changed their life.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's something you should do.
Get me his email later.
I will. Because he's looking for guests. So.
I could talk about this book.
I'd love. I'm TV
forever.
For that show, so I'll be there.
Okay.
So, you can make
we'll
your TOP on camera debut. We'll talk off camera. But without further ado, what was your top strength?
Kindness.
Really? The shocker.
I know. Huh? Doing favors and good deeds for others, helping them, taking care of them. I can't imagine not being kind to people. I know it's easy sometimes to not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think for a moment, just, it's a golden rule. If I want to be treated well, then I need to treat other people well. And it's not always easy to be kind, because people can take a lot from you. But I guess I've found that if I'm the kindest person that I can be, or the kindest version of myself every day, then I'm going to feel better. At the end of the day, it's my head on the pillow, and I feel better if I'm being nice to people.
And I, like I said to start the show, your kindness has had a small or a bigger impact in me getting involved in any of this. So
that really means a lot.
So your kindness has helped many out, including myself, and just getting their foot in and helping really change a lot around for me. So,
well, thank you.
Of course, no worries. But that's gonna do it for today's episode. If you have anything you want to plug, anything that you want to say to the world, feel free to go ahead. Like socials or any like thing you've got going on.
I don't have much going on right now. I'm not gonna lie to you.
You want to do your LinkedIn? I doubt it.
I don't even know what my LinkedIn is, so maybe not.
It's okay. I don't even have one. Really work on it.
Yeah.
But either way, it's been a pleasure to have you on here, and for the first time in my seat, actually get to know somebody that I didn't know much about before. So
I'm very excited to have been here with you, and yeah. Thank you for getting me on. This has absolutely been, you know, something I've been really excited to do for the past, like, 8 months.
I know. So. I texted you this morning, and within, like, I put the phone in my pocket, and I got 3 texts for you instantly. And I was like, all right.
I've been so excited for this.
Well, I'm glad I could provide that excitement, but thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. And I usually end with a quote, but your backpack metaphor was better than anything I could come up with. So we're just going to leave it at that. But thanks for listening to another episode of Getting to Know You. I've been Jacob Bradley, and take care.